Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, let us go across to the other side. The day was done. The great crowds gathering to hear Jesus' teaching had dispersed. Evening had come. Time to move on, to continue the ministry on the other side of the sea. Jesus, wearing from the day's labors, falls asleep. A first storm arises. The terrified disciples wake Jesus, demanding, "Don't you care that we are about to die?" Jesus commanding, "Peace, be still, quiets the tempest." This story following Jesus' inauguration of his ministry, proclaiming God's kingdom is near, signifies the nature of that kingdom, verily of God, peace. This is the same God who, the psalmist sings, stills the storm to a whisper, quieting the waves of the sea, and who answers Job with a self-referential, self-evidentiary question, who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out of the womb. Divine power over the sea, a biblical symbol of chaos, demonstrates that this God, by whose power Jesus miraculously stills the storm, is a God of order and stability, of peace. To this God, the fervent prayers of many ascend when calamities, separation, divorce, job loss, financial crisis, pandemic, illness, death, depression, despair overwhelm our well-constructed dams, our relationships, our work, our leisure and pleasure, our planning for the future, by which we, in making meaning for our lives, had hoped to hold chaos at bay, when the waters of disorder and instability flood our world, we cry out for relief. Would that it was as simple as the psalmist sings that when we in trouble cry to God, we are delivered from distress. Would that our prayers always be answered with a divine, victorious word, peace, be still, to quiet what a storm had arisen, what a sea had arranged. But it doesn't happen this way, at least not much of the time, whether in our life or mine or in the life of the world. Storms below, seas foam, troubles befall, whose betide, whether human-induced or nature-made, which no amount of praying makes cease. Perhaps for this reason, mystics and martyrs, saints, and all great strugglers from time immemorial have found consolation in Jesus' word to his disciples on the night before he died. "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, so let not your hearts be troubled or afraid." And in Paul's word, uttered whilst imprisoned for his faith, about God's peace that surpasses understanding. The poet, reflecting on this truth, wrote, "The peace of God, it is no peace, but strife closed in the thought. Yet let us pray for but one thing, the marvelous peace of God." Worldly peace entails deliverance from affliction, absence of tribulation. God's peace, the peace of Jesus that abides amidst calamity as a fruit of an inner freedom from self, an interior liberty from all consuming self-consciousness that focuses on external, thus always impracticable, uncontrollable circumstance. How do we claim this peace? There is no one answer. One way, however, is to continue to go with Jesus across the other side. In that journey, we encounter afresh the fullness of ourselves so that in embracing anew all that we are, we can let go so to be free. The other side, at times a refuge, a retreat. I walked down the street and ahead behold somewhere unknown or something particular that stirs my anxiety or my prejudices, or it is someone I know with whom, for whatever reason, perhaps desiring solitude, I would rather not engage. So I cross the street to the other side. I think, too, of the priest and Levite in the parable of the Good Samaritan on their way to Jerusalem to take part in religious duties, who, when coming upon the men robbed, beaten, and left for dead on the road, passed by on the other side. The other side, at other times, a mystery as in the other side of life beyond death. Despite our creedal affirmation that Jesus will come again, also testimonies of those who, during out-of-body experiences, beheld on comforting otherworldly light, I know what is out there, or if there is a there. The other side. At still other times, and here I focus, a wilderness, a desolate place, over there, apart from the ironic or ios, the false peace of the personal present to the world. I think of memories when I did what I ought not and did not do what I ought, which still plug me, for in the recollection I have an instant awareness that the tendencies to do what I ought not and not do what I ought abide. I think too of moments when I am conscious of changes I need to make in my life, in my way of seeing things, in my way of being, changes that I have put off attempting because I fear failure, or perhaps I fear success, which means I no longer will be who I am with whom, even at my worst, I have grown comfortable, complacent. Ironically, only in my encounter with my memories and my renewed awareness of that which I would hide, even from myself, and in my engagement in the hard work of change, can I, having embraced my fullest self, let go of me so set to be free and at peace. At least, this is how I believe it can happen. Let us go across to the other side. Okay, Jesus, as I've come with you this far, I go with you the rest of the way.